Waiting for the music.
Yeah, we've waited. There we go. It comes in. Ooh. Now, listen, Judith, we should tell everybody we've got a stand in. Daisy's still on her holiday. We must have worn her out this year.
Oh, I know.
She's needed a fortnight, Judith. She's needed a fortnight in the family.
Easily. She's probably talking about
She might not come back. She's in a very beautiful place. She's gone somewhere so lovely. Because we snoop on her Instagram, don't we? We have a little snoop and
she's,
we see
I think
the
she's with her sister, isn't she?
In Iona. She's on Iona.
Yes.
That's one of the Scottish. Gorgeous. Is it Hebrides, Judith?
Oh, do you know, I'm not sure whether it's Hebrides or Shetlands or Orkneys. They blur, don't they? They blur.
They blur. Quite a few people will be clenching their fists now and shaking their fists.
They will.
Our Shetland fans and all the Orkney fans and all the other one you mentioned, they'll be turning off in their droves. Well, there's not many of them anyway, so fuck
it. I don't suppose there are that many, Jenny.
No, most of them can't get a signal anyway. They've got, yeah, they're out chasing sheep and knitting and making those fabulous hats. Anyway, listen, I want to start with you, Judith, because I know that this week has been there's been a big occasion, and I want the full rundown.
Absolutely. Well, we've got a lot to catch up
I with, can't remember anything, Judith. Can't remember anything. It's all a blur. Do you say that the all those Scottish islands and everything are a blur? My life is a blur.
God,
so I'm handing over to you because you've had Ellen's engagement
yes,
party.
Yes, Ellen's engagement party, which was Shaynu at our house, right, on Saturday.
Why did you do that, Judith? Did you offer that?
Oh,
was it one of those occasions when you got very drunk? Was it when we were at Latitude and you pissed out your head?
Not even that. I don't even have that excuse, Jenny. No, I think she casually... You know, do you think we could host the engagement party at yours? Ages ago, she said this. And, you know, don't worry, we'll do all the work and we'll get all the booze in. Yes, yes, I know. We're going to get a pizza van and we'll get the cook. You know, it won't be, could you just get it? Is that all right? Can we do that? And of course, yes, darling.
You should have
absolutely.
Said, yes, you can hire the venue. That'll be 1,600 quid.
I would have charged more than that, Jenny, if I'd known
really?
The weekend.
Really?
Oh, my God.
Okay, put a price on it, Judith. Put a price on it.
About 3,000.
Okay, right.
Actually.
I like it. I'm loving
it.
This is the way to become a millionaire, isn't it?
It is.
The thing is, what happened is that you sort of downsized, but got a very big garden when you downsized.
Yes, which is obviously very good for parties if it's not pissing with rain, really.
Yeah.
So, and you know, I was caught up in all the loveliness of it, as I am a great deal in life. So, yes.
Caught up in the loveliness, you mean you can't help but interfere?
Well, there's that too, but no, we'll come on to interference. No, I just did this kind of, you know, generous parental, oh, of course we can do that. You know what I mean? I like that feeling momentarily when I offer. And then, of course, it's a distant memory when I get into the shit of it all. Or like it by Tuesday, Jenny, just to give you an idea, by Tuesday, it felt like Friday. Actually, probably on Monday.
Yeah.
And then by the time, because it was on the Saturday. And Well,
what
you
did you have
know.
To do? What did this involve? What did the preparations involve?
It doesn't sound a lot, does it? But basically, well, two or three things. We'll come on to the emotional things in a minute. Practically, if you're hosting that sort of party, it's kind of, have you got a bucket? Where?
What do you need a bucket for?
Well, you know, whatever it is. Have you got any tablecloths? And, you only got three. Oh, we might have to get some more. And could you ask the neighbours for some? Because I don't like that table, really. But, you know, we need a few more chairs. And you know the fridge in the garage? Do you think we could put that in the kitchen? And we'll put it back. Don't worry. All go back.
Oh my
You won't know. And then there was all the accommodation. So... Oh, well,
how many
hasn't...
people were staying over, Judith?
Well, there was one. There was a couple in the dining room on an airbed. There was another couple.
Did you
in
have
the lounge.
To supply the airbed?
Ellen had that. No, to be fair, but all the bedding, and towels.
I'd have said they had to bring their own bedding and towels. I'd have drawn a line there.
I think I might have said that, but I don't. I'm not sure the message got through.
Okay.
And then there were some people in the spare room. Then there was a guy in Mike's study who was sick actually on the floor.
Was he sick?
Apparently
brilliant. Fantastic.
Yeah. Well,
was
I mean,
sick
that
on
is
the
quite
floor
stylish.
Or in a, was he sick in the waste paper basket?
No, I think he was on the floor. I don't know what his worst
is. Is there a residual stain and smell?
Of course there is.
Oh my God.
Every time you go in. Absolutely.
No wonder he was by himself. Was he by himself?
He was.
The lonely one. Yeah. We're not naming names here, but yeah, the puka. They've got, that's what they call him behind his back.
Oh, but you know what the worst thing is? I just realised he's the best man.
Oh, my God.
It doesn't bode well, does it? It does not bode well at all.
That wedding's going to reek.
Yeah,
it's going to be everyone's going to go, the flowers smell nice, don't they? But there is there's another whiff underneath that kind of just cutting through a sort of cheesy, quite sour smell with a bit of beer on top. Oh, it's the puka.
Yeah, it's puka. Yeah, slash best man. No, he's terribly sweet. I mean, they were lovely, lovely people. So also she was working here. So she'd arranged, obviously, like you can these days, can't you, to work from home in order to sort of be around for the build up of the party. So,
well, to keep an eye on you and to give you instructions.
Well, exactly. Yeah.
So she's working. Where's Ellen working? I want a mental picture of this. Is she in the dining room?
Working in the dining room, nice and handy for issuing warnings, and increasingly as we got closer to Saturday, early morning or very late night WhatsApp group lists. So what would happen by about Thursday, me, Aaron and Mike would get kind of, right, mum, today, could you please, dad, oh dear, I mean, bless her, but honestly, it was...
We're martyrs to our daughters, Judy.
We are martyrs.
I mean, there
we?
Are some people who will be listening to this and just think these women are absolutely bloody ridiculous.
Well, of course they
were. There were other women who will be going, yeah, done that.
Done that. We can't help ourselves.
Admit it, but I've done it.
We can't help ourselves. But then, on top of that, there was the emotional fallout, which largely, I would say, was around disappointment. Do you know what I mean? So what would happen...
At what stage was this?
Oh, well, all through the week, but it was building up, because obviously what happened is that she said, poor thing, she would get the messages, like you do, from people that say, oh, actually, I can't come because blah, 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 and, you know, my partner's sort of been pinged and blah, 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 blah. So, and she'd order the pizza van. But also it's quite hurtful, isn't it, when people drop out at the last minute? And of course people do, for all the right reasons.
Yeah, and also it's a long way to go.
It's a long way, I know.
And it's a real kind of, staying overnight for a party is a real commitment, I think.
It is.
Being sort of commitment phobic, I mean, it's something that would make me panic a bit.
Well, you wouldn't do it, would you?
No,
piss
I know,
off.
Probably
no,
not.
Of course you would. I mean, I couldn't.
I'd get a driver to come out at midnight and get me.
I couldn't piss off. I tell you
no,
what.
No, I know you're there. Stuck
I'm
in
there.
The
I'm
of
stuck.
It.
I'm stuck.
I'm surprised that you didn't have to go and sleep in the Wendy house and give up your bedroom.
Oh, well, I would have cheerfully done that if somebody else hadn't been in it. But I mean, but it started at 2:30 and it finished really late, because I could see what was happening is, because I thought, you know, okay, 2:30, they'd all be gone by about 6 or 7 o'clock. A few stragglers, that'd be all right. They're still drinking at 2 o'clock in the morning, Jenny. Could hear them down the garden. And
what time did you bail out, Judith? Yeah, well, she's 30. Is she 30 yet, Ellen?
Not quite 30, but she's not far off. I mean, lovely, lovely, lovely,
so
lovely
late
people.
20s, early 30s.
Yeah, and they haven't
crowd.
Seen each other. Yeah, they have not done this sort of thing because of COVID for so long.
Did you do
long.
Drive-through COVID before they came in the garden?
Well, no. What do you mean drive-through COVID? What's
I'd
that?
I'd have done drive-through COVID. Drive-through COVID testing. I'd have got a load of lateral flow tests. And
would you?
Would, yes, I
would
certainly
you?
Would. I'd have
would
done
you?
That before. Yeah, I'd have done that before pizza van, trestle table, anything. Yeah,
oh,
I'd have got.
Would you seriously have done
yeah,
that?
Yeah, certainly would. Certainly would. You don't want a super spreader at an engagement party. Yeah,
didn't think of that. I
think most
there.
People do it themselves, Judith, to be quite honest. Yeah, most of the young people, they want to go out and about, and most of them are testing themselves. I mean, I test myself every other day. Don't you?
Do you really? But I don't really, and I should I do. But I'm probably not out and about as much as you are, because I mean you're
I'm
gigging,
doing
aren't
the
you?
Tryout. Well, I'm not. We don't really call it gigging, Judith.
We call it doing
terrible, embarrassing kind of extracts from a show that is not quite ready yet.
Well, I know what you're like. You're I know
we're
what
at the
you're
tryout
like,
stage.
Jenny.
No, Judith.
Yes,
I'm really struggling, but we're not talking about that yet because I haven't. Okay. I'm enjoying feasting on this meal of gossip.
It's called Schadenfreude, isn't it? It's called
Schadenfreude. No, it isn't, because actually I think you had a good time, because you always do. But for me, it's like I'm picking through the bones of this, and I didn't have to do any of the work, and I'm really enjoying the second-hand kind of storytelling of it, because I'm going, oh yeah, oh God, borrowing trestle tables from neighbours, and I can picture my, you know, the way you have to carry them, and then you catch your finger in the hinge.
Absolutely.
And
all those they're sort bastards, of things. Those trestle tables, all, aren't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, there's not a trestle table in the world that's easy to carry. All those things that you sort of think
that's
might be
right.
simple,
that's
and
right.
actually they're, take twice yeah. as long, and then we go round to a neighbour, they want to talk to you.
Oh, they, yes, how's
I just
it going?
Want your trestle
who's
table.
Coming? Or that's, yeah. that's, then you have to take some chocolates round, or you know, a thank you note. And actually, two of the neighbours delightful because I was put up some of the guests. And some people were parking in drives, and yeah, it yeah. just got kind of bigger and bigger and bigger. But it was lovely. It was sunny,
what was the weather
thank
like?
God, well, yeah. Pretty dismal in the morning.
Yeah.
But actually, in the afternoon, very good. And she got a pizza van. God, that is the way to go, Jenny, in terms of throwing
I think
a party,
it's a genius idea, yes. Because
well,
otherwise,
yeah.
you'd have been up to your neck in vol-au-vents.
Well,
have,
I would.
You'd have been doing
of course
the,
I would. Of course yeah, I would. Yeah,
yeah. You'd
been
buckets
chicken.
Of coleslaw. Yeah, yeah. So tell me more about the pizza van. Do they make them? Do you see them spinning the dough and all that shit?
Not really, no, not really. But they just literally came on the drive and they got, you know, the wood fired, whatever it is they have. And they put the menu out, you know, like it was a proper, like you were at a festival or something, put the
okay,
menu out.
Okay, did they have any white ones? Because you know I'm allergic to tomatoes. Did they have any white pizzas?
Oh, yeah, you could have had what you like. You know, they were just okay. making them to order. No, absolutely. Yeah. But they were brilliant, except I wore quite a nice... silky sort of quite posh dress. I mean, not weddingy, but
yeah.
you're a bit posh for me, and I'm not
so
used to wearing posh dresses.
Three steps down from a wedding.
Yes, about that. About
what would,
that.
What did you buy it for?
I made it, actually.
Oh,
I made
okay,
it.
Okay.
I made it.
Is it a recent make?
It's a recent make.
Was
it's
it boat
not
neck?
Bad.
Was it boat neck? Did you do the boat neck pattern?
Of course I did, yeah. It's the only one I can do. It's the only one I can do.
What
and it's,
colour?
It's quite... It's a little bit tight, if I'm honest, under the armpits.
Okay,
but right. yeah, so I didn't feel that comfy in it, but it wasn't too
okay,
bad.
Okay, what colour?
A kind of beigey, goldy
okay,
sort of
okay.
taupey thing, which wasn't bad, okay. actually. It looked quite good on me. However, okay. There was a rather over-enthusiasm with the chilli oil on the counter of the pizza van, which resulted in a splash of chilli oil over the front. So
you're not going to get that out.
Of course I'm not. No, of course I'm not. So come about 4 o'clock, I was feeling like, you know, just to get a bit tight in your party dress, a bit uncomfortable, aware of it. So I just went upstairs and put a pair of dungarees on. I thought, fuck it, I just want to be comfortable.
Hold on, you
so
haven't got
happier.
Dungarees. You haven't got dungarees. You didn't copy my dungarees, did you?
Oh, we're not dungarees. No, don't panic. I don't
don't panic,
dungarees.
Mrs. Mannering. Do you mean you're sort of all in one?
Yes, the one I wore
the
on the stage.
All in one.
On
yeah,
the stage.
That's a great
yes,
act. That's
yes,
great
yes,
on
yes,
you.
Yes, it's feel
a,
really
I think that's one of your best things.
Thank
I do.
You.
And you can dress it up, you can dress it down, you different cardies, different it's, shoes, different.
Yes.
yes.
Exactly.
It's a super thing. It's a super,
it is.
Super
and I love
item.
It. And if you
wardrobe.
Get chilli oil down it, it doesn't matter. And I think, yeah, lessons learned in terms of maybe what I'm going to wear at the wedding. I might go the comfy route. I think, you know, as unlike Sienna's...
Well,
really
if you've got the puker
posh...
coming to the wedding, I'd wear something sick-proof. You went quite Mother of the Bride with Sienna's wedding,
didn't you?
Was your first one there. That was your first one. I think the novelty's worn off. I don't think
Very
you'll do big
so.
Hat this time, will
Definitely
you?
Definitely not. I think I'm going low-key, comfy, you know, maybe even a pair of sort of gold trainers. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I might
do that. What if Ellen listens to this? She might send you a WhatsApp message saying,
God.
Don't you dare! Don't you dare wear those dungarees.
She doesn't. Well, we're still looking at wedding venues. That's a saga that's still going on. I tell you what, if I had a bit of spare money, I would just buy a barn. You cannot imagine how much money these people are making out of just a sodding barn.
I've done a barn wedding. It was nice, but the weather was not barn friendly.
Really?
Was it drafted? I mean, there's barn with no sides. I was in a barn, no sides wedding.
God.
And that was great while the sun shone. But when the sun went in, I just thought, I'm cold now, going home. Fuck the barn dancing.
Right,
I'm going home now. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Did anything get broken, Judith?
Well, they all got into the hot tub at one point, and I went round with the torch because they were told not to take glasses. because you know what it's like.
I went round with the torch. I fucking love this. Yeah. Were you in your 90? Were you in 90 in dressing gown with the torch?
I was at 2 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. I went down and said the neighbours were complaining. They weren't actually, but I could hear what they were saying.
You were complaining. You were saying, yeah, you were worried about glass in the hot tub. You were lying there in bed thinking someone's going to cut themselves.
Well, absolutely. Yeah.
I don't blame you. Absolutely. I don't blame you.
No. So it's a murky, it's a horrible murky colour, and I'm not sure whether it's going to work properly again. So you've got to refill it, but there you go. I don't think anything other than that.
Can what do you do with hot tubs? Can you pull a plug on them?
Oh, no, stupidly. They're not designed like that. You have to get a pump. And, you know, like if you were pumping out a pond, I don't know if you've probably never done that, have you?
Well, yeah, well, but actually, Judith, we had a pond.
You?
Yeah, you know... You know the left-hand side of our garden where it has that dip down? It sort of suddenly drops down. Yes. That was a pond for a while. Yes, it was. And it's now sort of somewhere for a fire pit or a barbecue or whatever.
Much better than a pond. You've got a nice little nooky area.
I don't know. I think it's because you've had young people in your house and you just suddenly went nooky nooky. I just kind of regurgitated slightly. I nearly turned into the puker.
But no, I mean a little kind of sheltery...
Tucked away corner. Where we have the fern garden now. We call it the fern garden.
Oh,
there are six
you?
Pots. There are six pots of ferns. It's the fern garden.
But you had a pond there.
Yeah, we had
you?
A pond there. Yes, but it just scuzzed over.
Of course
we could
did.
Never get it clear. We wanted it clear. I think we were even thinking fish. I don't know. I can't remember.
Yeah.
But it just was murky. So, I don't know how Jeff got rid of it. I don't know what he did. I think I went off gigging and then by the time I got back, there was just this hole where a pond used to be. And it's just,
No, well, so you might know then the process with the pump. It's all fine until the last 6 inches. Do you know what I mean?
And then you have to scoop it out with a teacup.
Oh, God. Well, yes, exactly. So for another 2 inches, you lie it on its side so it still pumps out. And then there's always this terrible thing where you have to get in with a bucket and then with towels. So we've got probably, Mike and I have probably got a full day's work on the bloody hot tub to come. We've put the top on it.
Yeah, that's horrible. There must be a company that does it. Did you ever see a film? There's a stupid film called Hot Tub Time Machine.
No.
And there was a time when Jeff and I was really, really depressed. And there was this film came on. It was called Hot Tub Time Machine. And it was stupid. It was so stupid.
Well, I could have told you that with that title.
It made me laugh and laugh. Yeah, it was absolutely the right thing to watch at that particular moment in my life. And I think if I watched it again, I'd be very disappointed. But maybe if you might get in the hot tub, you could have an adventure. You could have a hot tub time machine. Adventure of your own.
Oh, I see what you mean. So people got into the hot tub.
Yeah, and then they went
became a time machine.
Yes, yes.
Ooh, get me. It took me a while to work that out.
Do you see what I've been trying to say? So, and you like the people. And what about breakfast?
Lovely.
I'm worried about them getting up in the morning and you sort of finding yourself in the kitchen doing...
baking sandwiches. And just as we thought that they were all going, they all decided to sit down and... You know, and carry it. I mean, they had a lovely time, and that's great. That is great. But, you know, I was ready for them to go. Always ready for them to go. And the joy of getting back to normal, of
getting straight,
hopping around, you know, watching a bit of telly. Well, I know you're probably too busy for all this at the moment.
Well, I totally understand the kind of... I understand both halves, this sort of joy of doing all this and you know, a sense of achievement and an occasion and all this kind of thing.
Yeah.
And making Ellen happy and all that. I totally get it. But I also, at the moment, I have a sort of resentment of anything that extra that I have to do.
Oh,
can't
God,
do
yes.
it.
No. Well, and I wonder whether we had
it's
become...
Lockdown.
Yes, we'd become, hadn't we, so selfish with our time.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we were able to literally, I mean, I think you and I both, well, you with your jigsaws.
Yeah. Oh, we did our art, we did our painting,
we
did our jigsaws. I sort of vaguely cooked every night. We had a nice supper in front of the telly, you know, a lot of telly. There was a lot of, I mean, it was awful.
Yeah, I know,
don't get us wrong. And I genuinely, you know, got very worried about money and everything. But there was a side to it that was like being a perpetual Sunday, but a nice Sunday without school tomorrow, with another Sunday to come.
I know, and I remember so often during that time saying to myself, this peace that I'm feeling, obviously coupled with terror, you know, I mean, it was that terrible sort of combination of you'd look at the news and you'd think, oh, shit. But the sort of the peace which I got in myself for having an empty diary was really unusual and very, very good for me. And now it's all gone, hasn't it?
So when the diary starts to fill up again, I mean, on the one hand, there is, oh, great, we're all getting back to normal.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, I start to sort of palpitate a bit and think, oh, my God, oh, my God. And I'm so slow, Judith. That's the worst thing about
this. What do you mean?
Learning this show, I've never been so slow learning a show, just really slow. I think that because we spent a year online, so not really using your brain very much. I mean, this sounds stupid, but even using the underground system where you just have to go, oh, I have to get off there and I have to change over there and I have to do that. And sort of just using your brain and being a bit quick.
I see what you mean.
And for a whole year, you're even ordering online. So you're not even making decisions when you're in the supermarket. I don't know. I just feel that half my brain is still slightly asleep.
Yes, I mean, it's speed, isn't it? I
think
you put
speed.
Your finger on it where you say, because we were used to, sort of kind of mentally, multitasking mentally and going a very, very... You
and
know,
you
yeah,
had a social
fast.
Life. You had a busy social life and you did cooking too, which things two things I've never done. But I mean, you know, during lockdown, I did actually cook more than I've ever done in my life.
You
and
did.
Now
you
because I'm back
good,
to... Yeah, well, not really. But, you know, now that I'm back to gigging and everything, I'm back to sort of, you know, there are four or five meals a week, evening meals, which are now sandwiches in front of a dressing room mirror. Yeah, and it's
really?
Back to... It's immediately back to that life. And yes, I love it. And I have to say that I love being in a dressing room. It doesn't matter how awful. Yeah, I do.
Oh, isn't that nice? Because it's obviously what it is. It's you're about to showtime. It's showtime.
It's not just that. It's that. And it's also, it's the last sanctuary. It's the last safe space before you go on stage. This is where nobody can get you. Nobody can, you know, your phone's off and that's it. It's just you in this little sort of cave.
How are you getting from gig to gig, by the way? You're driving yourself.
Well, on occasion, I'm driving myself. Anything that's within London, that I don't have to go on big roads, I drive... drive myself because you know I've got the new clubman. I've got the new mini clubman. I'm just waving to all the other mini clubman owners out there because I feel an affinity. I'm still getting a thrill when I open and shut the back doors. I was just like, oh, I've got a car with back doors. This is great. Then I did one in Red Hill and Jeff drove me because there was a big motorway bit. And then I had to do Norden Farm. Did you ever come to Norden Farm?
We tried out our
first Grumpy Old Women there once.
All right.
Or the second one, I can't remember.
Right.
And it's a little art centre in Maidenhead. It's in the middle of a housing estate. It's very odd, but it's very sweet. And it's very nice. And there was a family do. You were having your family do on Saturday night. And there was a sort of family dinner, our family. So I couldn't ask Jeff to drive me again. So I got a professional driver. I spent a huge amount of money. You know, basically got a more or less a black cab to Maidenhead, got him to wait for 3.5 hours. And then he brought me back. And he didn't like me, this bloke. It was an odd one. But anyway, I've had the other big thing I've done and we need to catch up on is... the cruise. I did a cruise. Do you remember I went on a cruise, Judith?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Now,
my
there are bits
God,
of it.
Jenny.
I wish you had been there because there were sort of moments where I felt very, very lonely because I was by myself.
I know.
Because Jeff couldn't come.
I know. I think I got a text from you, which was quite sort of, I don't know.
Needy. It was needy. It was very needy. And Jeff couldn't come because he was doing an art fair in Cheltenham.
Yes.
Did he do well?
Did he sell loads?
He didn't do badly. He would have done better if he hadn't stayed at the most expensive hotel in Cheltenham. But he stayed at something, the Promenade. I don't know. But I popped in there once to look at the bar because I was walking past this very posh hotel once and I sort of, some artwork and some sort of turquoise leather bar stools caught my eye. And I thought,
nice.
I've just got to have a look in
nice.
That room.
Nice.
And that's where he ended up staying. He had a fine old time. He met up with Dom Jolly and his wife. And
did he?
Had dinner with people. And, you know, he had a cousin come. All sorts of things.
Ooh.
It really had a very sort of sophisticated, posh time.
Grown up.
Really grown up time. So a lot of the money he made at the fair went on ridiculously. He said it's my holiday. But he was still on his feet for 4 days. So anyway, he deserved a nice place to stay. So I was on the cruise by myself. And it was a princess cruise. And they paid me extremely well to entertain twice. I have to say the first show fell a little on stony ground, and I realised everyone was quite old, and it was the 5:30 dinner setting that come to the show after dinner.
Oh, really?
Yeah. The 10 o'clock show.
Slow down.
Easier.
What do you mean? Slow down. 5:30 dinner set. What do you mean? What?
Well, dinner starts. I don't know whether you've ever been on a cruise, Judith.
Not really. Not a big cruise like that at all, no.
No, well, I think it was only about half full. It was brilliantly, brilliantly handled. I have to say, you know, it's a princess cruise, and if anyone's wobbling at the moment about where the cruise is, are safe. Yeah. I think they did everything they possibly
did.
Could.
Did they? COVID-wise.
Yeah, they did do drive-through COVID.
Right.
So you got to the terminal at Southampton, and you could choose whether you were doing a walk-through or a drive-through. And I'm a lazy cow, you know me, Judith. You'd have been walking. I got there. I was drive-through. And basically, someone comes to your car, gives you a swab, and then you wait for your result. And if you're clear, you can board the ferry.
Very good.
Not the ferry. God, they'd sue me. They'd sue me. It's not a fucking ferry. It's a cruise liner. But honestly, it's owned by an American company. It's very, very glitzy in all the communal spaces, really glitzy.
How many passengers?
I think there were about 2,000 on board, but I think it would have taken 4,000 or 3,500 or something like that. And get this, the crew had been on board that ship for 2 weeks waiting for us in quarantine.
Every single crew member. The expense of all of that.
It's unbelievable, you know, the effort. Because they have to, because, of course, last year, you know, when COVID was right at the beginning, there was that terrible case of cruise liner where, And because it's maritime law, they have their own legal system. I wore a captain's hat throughout because I just thought, well, I might take some charge here. But no, maritime law means that it is different to land law. At sea, you have to abide by maritime law. And you had to wear a mask at all times. As soon as you stepped out of your cabin, you had to wear a mask in all communal spaces until you were sitting down and eating or drinking. And that was that. There was, in the theatres, everybody was masked. It was, I wasn't even allowed, there was no I wasn't allowed backstage to hang out with any of the other performers or anything like that. I just had to wait at the side by myself with my mask on and remove my mask as I walked on stage. You know, there was, it was really, really strict.
Yeah, well, good on them.
The food thing, I mean, I just didn't understand how to play. I think some people really know how to cruise because they've done it a few times and they know that you've got to book you the best restaurants. There are loads and loads of restaurants. It's about 10 restaurants on board. God, Judith, there is food at every corner. I don't know whether you'd have liked it or whether you'd have had to go for a lie down in your cabin to get over it. Because food is
accessible. I think there might
accessible.
Have been some stashing away.
Food is accessible at all times of the day and so much
dangerous.
Of it. Yeah. Really. And I just get really confused and then just sort of hide in my cabin and go, oh God, well, I don't know what to do now.
Too much choice.
One night I ended up by myself in my cabin having a hot dog. It was just mad. And then I did have a very nice dinner in a restaurant with Judge Rob Rinder, who was on the cruise doing a talk in the afternoon with his friend Gary, who's a lovely gay man who's adopted 4 children, 3 of whom have severe disabilities. And just, you know, you sort of listen to other people's stories and just go, oh, fucking hell, I'm so spoiled.
Did he have the kids? No, there was nobody under 18.
It was an adult only. No, this cruise, you had to be proof of double jab status and then the clear COVID and then come on board and masks at every corner.
But go back a minute to your first show. You know, you said you did a bad first show. And it was something, you said something about the 5:30 sitting.
What does that mean? Well, the restaurants
for
open for evening meals from 5:30.
Well, that's a bit early.
Yes, I know, but I think cruise ships do that because traditionally there are some very old people on board. I don't think this was much more middle-aged. I think the average age was probably about 56. So that I think cruises are geared up to start serving, you know, the people in their 80s at about, you know, they want to eat at 6 o'clock.
Yes.
And then they want to finish and then they want to go and tart themselves up and then they want to go out and either go to the casino, go to a show.
Go to a show. Go to a show.
Go to a show, but maybe not mine. Do you know what I mean? But, you know, so I was like this, the headliner, and I just don't think I was to everybody's taste in the early show. It was a much easier show for the 10 o'clock. But it's very difficult because, you know, you spent so long of your career sort of being a type of comedian. You can't suddenly switch lanes.
No, of course you can't.
When you haven't worked for 18 months, you just sort of go. So, you know, you had to stick with the plan, stick with the plan. But I just did it in a really cheerful, I'm a nice girl next door kind of way for the first show. And then for the later show, I, you know, became a bit nastier. But no, it was fine. And people were incredibly kind. I mean, they really were. It was a very good natured experience. But I didn't know where we were. There was no information as to where we actually were.
Well, where you actually were, where you
where
were sailing.
Where we actually were. Where we,
so you
we
left didn't... at Southampton, didn't
yeah.
you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And from then on, I know nothing. I know, know nothing. We were just at sea. It was never going to dock anywhere because, you know, ships aren't allowed to, you know, you're not allowed off because, you know, you could catch COVID. So
let me ask, so how many nights were you at sea?
At sea, and we left Southampton, and I was at sea for 3 nights, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and we disembarked back at Southampton at 8 o'clock on Tuesday morning. And
oh, I see. So I see what you mean. So it wasn't a matter of sort of going round the coast and saying, "Oh,
look,
we've got
this.
As far as kind of Wales and blah, blah, blah." You were literally out, sort of. Yeah, I don't. Well, yeah.
Well, where? Yes, I mean, our geography is you know is not ever to be investigated too deeply, Judith. But we were, you know, we were floating about, and you couldn't see any land. And I did have a little balconyette. You know,
oh, I bet that's quite nice, isn't it?
Well, you'd have liked it because
yes,
of fresh air and all that.
Yeah.
I got this absolute terror because I was by myself and every time I went out on deck and stood next to the rail,
well, I bet I know what was going through.
I was going to go over.
I bet, yes. As
I
you said
do
that,
it.
I, as you said that, the a really strong thought of anxiety flashed through my mind.
Yeah.
And was it like you could fall off and nobody'd know?
Yeah. And there was no way you could. But I just didn't trust myself. And sometimes I'd go out on my balcony and my big fear was that my sliding door would slam shut and be stuck out there.
Sorry.
So I was like wedging it with furniture and all that. And sometimes I'd just sort of turn tail and just run back in. Just really, really frightened.
I
didn't have any seasickness on board. But when I got home, right... I felt like I was still at sea. I had motion sickness.
Oh yes,
on land.
I know what you mean by that. It's
like
still
taking
moving.
Roller skates off. Yeah, yeah. And I just thought, oh shit! I can't believe it. I've got so much work on, and I have to go to bed. So I came.
Was
home
it choppy, Jenny?
At times it was a little bit, but not enough to sort of, you know. If the puker had been on board, he'd have probably had a couple of brandies and, you know, gone over. No, I was absolutely fine at sea, but at home I felt really poorly. So I got home, thought, I've got to go to bed. And I just looked at our bed sheets and, you know, I'm lazy. And I just thought, no, even I cannot get into this bed. I'm going to change the sheets now. And, oh, Judith, honestly, right at the last minute, I lifted the mattress and I pulled my back.
Oh, is that? I knew you'd had a bad back. Is that how you did it?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Bugger. Did.
But I'm fine now. I've had 3 sessions of at the chiropractor's, and he said that I have a very young and healthy spine, and that I have actually recovered in record time. So there you go.
Gosh.
That's yoga.
Well, you have.
That's old days
you were
of
quite...
yoga.
Oh, it is, isn't it? It's so debilitating, isn't it? When
yeah,
you
it was
in.
Debilitating. But
awkward.
What you'd have loved on the cruise, and I haven't swum for so long because I haven't been able to get a slot locally. I had a lovely outdoor swim, Judith.
Oh,
I really
did you? On the top?
On the top deck.
Oh, but that was lovely.
Open air, just
very
really
nice.
Lovely on Monday when the weather, because the weekend weather was awful. And then, and I was anxious as well. I was anxious before the show, so I didn't do much on the Saturday.
Yeah.
And then I had my hair bleached on board.
Was
the
hairdressers on board, was there?
Of course there was. course there was. She said, oh, we've got acupuncture as well. If I had more time, I'd have had some acupuncture, yes, because of my nerves. And so
well, next time you do one of these, I want to come with you. I want to come with you next time on one of these. And
they're very small cabins, Judith. That's all I'm going to say. That's what we might have to have an interconnecting cabin. Like,
yes, that would be good.
Rob Rinder and his mate had. Yes. I think they got a sort of very nice... Anyway.
We could have a system on the balcony whereby, you know, you could tie a scarf on.
Yes.
If, you know what I mean?
We'd tether each other to each other and to the rail so that, yes.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. So, no, we knew we weren't going to spoil.
Even talking
off.
About it makes me feel anxious.
I'm feeling
seasick again. I've now got the motion sickness back. So we've got to move on. So thank you very much to Princess Cruises for that.
Yes.
Right. We've all survived another week. We haven't spoken to you for 2 weeks. Well done, everybody. We hope you missed us. We are now going to Culture Corner. I have got to do a quick plug for Phoebe's latest play, which is a children's play called Really Big and Really Loud, which has just got a 4-star review in The Guardian.
Wow.
And I know, I'm really pleased for her.
She's doing so well, isn't she? Brilliant.
Well, it's everything sort of, it was a bit backed up from last year. So I'm very pleased that The Guardian actually went to review it, because I think sometimes children's plays go under the radar and they're really important to sort of turn kids onto theatre and imagination and storytelling and all that kind of thing. And this is a lovely story. And the photos are so joyful I've seen the production photos and they're so joyful.
Yes,
and it's on tour at the moment. It's in it's in Newcastle at the moment.
Oh, is it?
And yes, it is. And I can't remember where. You have to look up Payne's Plough, which is a very well-known children's theatre, touring theatre company, not just children's, but they have this touring theatre space. And if you're in Newcastle, look up children's shows and it'll jump out at you. And it comes to Brixton next week. Check the dates anyway. That's not my job. I can't buy your tickets for you. I'm not going to book for you. Oh, dear. Anyway, right. So that's the... And the other thing, I saw my niece on stage, which is just... It's joyful. She's called Daisy Hargreaves. And she's very funny. And she's in the Durham Review. So she's kind of joined the family firm. You know, it's comedy.
She has, hasn't she? Yeah. She really has. So did you go all the way up to Durham to see her?
Oh, no. Because it's holiday time. So they've been... It's the university review companies are actually really professional nowadays, and they sort of really get themselves together and they gig. And they had a sort of tiny residency in a room, a theatre above a pub in, sort of Kensington.
Brilliant.
Drayton Arms in Kensington. Yeah. It was really good fun. You know, two girls, three boys doing sketches.
Yeah. But how lovely you've got Phoebe and her cousin both
in
really
the same business. Yeah.
It's
yeah.
Fantastic.
I mean, it is and it isn't, Judith, because, you know, it's another generation of people who never will have a pension and will never, ever have a guaranteed income. So it's actually terrible. But there we go. You can't.
But they found their niche and they found what they want to do and they're doing it well. And that's...
You can't stop it, I don't think.
No, you can't.
So that's happening. And we just sort of stand by and clap. We go, well done. So reading, what are you on? Have you finished all your...
I've finished Marking Time, Elizabeth Jane Howard. Which is the second one in the Cazalet Chronicles. Oh, my God. So good. Was really sorry to sort of come to the end of it. That's a good test of a book, isn't it?
But and there's another one to come, isn't there?
I know,
Judy?
There is. Yeah. I think, is it called Seeing the Light or The Light Tales, I think?
Yeah, something like that.
And you sent me a note which said that, get this, the Duchess of Cornwall's reading room has been talking about the Cazalet Chronicles. So there.
Because for some reason we follow her, the Older and Wider Instagram account follow the Duchess of Cornwall.
Yes, I don't know how. I have no idea how I did that.
I think
that,
I pressed a button by accident, but we follow her. And suddenly, you know, in her, she has this book club, and I saw that she was reading the Cazalet Chronicles. And I thought, ooh, I think she might have been listening to Older and Wider.
Well,
can you imagine?
Wouldn't it be
great if Charles and Camilla sort of now and again lie down on the bed and have a bit of podding? Just go, should we listen to Jenny and Judith? Yeah, I like that. So I really enjoyed I've just finished on the cruise, and I did, I gulped it down, and I did listen to it on Audible, and it's the Kathy Rensenbrick's Everyone Is Still Alive, which is a young family living in her dead mother's old house. It's a family saga all about early marriage, raising young kids. You'd think that it would be something that didn't touch me, but it really did. It still resonated. Marriage is under strain, different couples under the spotlight, you know, alternate chapters with their own different trials and tribulations.
Is it contemporary?
Very contemporary, yeah. Very, very easy read. I think it's one that the gang would find very comforting because there's a dark turn in it, but then it has a happy ending. And if you're after a book at the moment with a happy ending, for me, I found the happy ending a bit too pat, but I've got a
trust
nasty
you.
Streak yeah running through me, so but I genuinely think for a lot of people who don't have who want something light that is still modern and funny, it does feel quite now without it being about the pandemic. I think that a lot of people would really, really enjoy it.
Well, that sounds really good. Tell us what's the title?
It's called
again?
Everyone Is Still Alive.
Okay.
Which the clue is kind of in the title. It's about really what counts at the end of the day.
Right. Oh, I like the sound of that very much.
Especially when it comes to having young children and accidents. So, everyone is still alive.
Okay. So I have moved on Audible, started to listen to The Castaways by Lucy Clark, which is that one that you were talking about a few weeks ago?
No, I haven't read this.
Oh, okay.
Does it start with a plane crash?
Yes, it does. And Ellen has been reading it and I think her generation, and I noticed it in the window of Waterstones the other day. It's obviously the sort of,
the summer
young.
Read. Okay.
It's the summer read. Good, actually. It's good. Although for people like you and I that don't like turbulence on planes, it's not particularly helpful.
For those of us who can get seasickness on land, it's probably going to be a bit of a trigger.
Yeah.
Okay, what about TV, Judith? I don't think you've had time with the party.
Oh, I have. It's been my refuge. It's my Mike and I have kind of. It's been our little island of safety. Well, we're going to watch Your Honor now. Got to watch that. Bryan Cranston, I think I talked about it last week, did I? Yeah. It just gets better and better and better and more gripping. It's called Your Honour and it's on Amazon Prime or Sky. Okay. So if you don't have Sky, you have to buy the season. It's about £15, I think, on Amazon Prime. It is excellent.
Okay. I've just written that down because we are coming to the close of Love Island. I haven't had any time for anything but Love Island. It's become Shakespearean in its intrigue and court whisperings. Mm. My money is on Millie to win. She's beautiful, but had to explain what an aphrodisiac is to her 21-year-old boyfriend.
That's hilarious.
So, it's been, I think there has been too much production manipulation from the powers that be behind the scenes, because there have been, as the series is reaching its climax, some peculiar goings on that have been slightly cruel, and they've had to do some nasty things to each other, which I think have been unnecessary. But there we go. You won't understand unless you've been watching it. So I won't bang on too much. But
I dipped in.
In the know,
I thought I better dip in to see it to see if I could understand.
You have to commit.
No, it was far too late. I came far too late to the party.
Yeah.
And I was very. I spent the first 10 minutes thinking, my God, look at those shoes. Look at those ridiculous shoes.
Yeah. See, I'm beyond. I don't even look at their feet anymore. I'm only looking at their faces and their expressions and sort. What they're saying to each other and what they're doing. It's mad. Anyway, so emails this week.
Yes.
Oh, this is a sweet one. This came through last week sometime. My problem is this. I saw Jenny walking along carrying shopping. Now, I'm not sure this was me because I'm never walking along carrying shopping. I wanted to say hello, but did not want to be intrusive. What is the etiquette in such a situation?
Right.
Should we have a secret sign for gang members as a greeting?
Oh.
Which I quite like, the Black Hand Gang or some kind of weird thing.
Yeah.
Would welcome any suggestions. And I actually replied to this email and I said that any gang member was very welcome to approach either of us. Can't guarantee it's going to be us because I met a woman on the cruise that I went on last week who looked a bit like me. And she said, all weekend, I've had people coming up to me going, are you Jenny Eclair? Are you Jenny Eclair?
really. Well, after we went on and on and on about bloody Jeremy Clarkson ignoring us, I suppose, yes.
Yeah, we have to welcome.
We certainly do.
Yeah, yes. We will be pleasant and polite and nice. Okay, right. I have got a show to learn, so I've got to get on.
Okay.
Yeah. Because it's, honestly, I'm writing it out. I think I'm going to record it next, Judith, and I'm going to lie down on the bed and listen to it. What do you think is going to happen then? What?
I think that's how Judy Dench learns.
Well, Judy Dench, she's got very poor eyesight now, so I think that she has to be fed the lines and she records them. You know, someone says da-da-da-da-da-da, she repeats it, records it and all that kind of thing. That's the only way, you know. So
you'll get there, and I'm really looking forward to seeing it one of these days.
I'll let you know if I'm...
Okay.
I haven't even looked at the tour dates because they're so close that I can't... it's terrifying.
There's a lot of, but it'll be a brilliant show. I know it will. I know you. You always go through this.
It's interesting. The show's interesting. I think.
That's an interesting word to use. Interesting.
Oh no, I don't know what it is yet, but it's getting there. We'll just get on with it. All right. Listen, love you and leave you.
Yes,
I hope
and
you get
you...
the smell out of the study.
Yeah.
What are you doing today?
What am I doing today? I'll probably get on my bike. I'm going to take Poppy for a walk. And I'm going to have some nice cold pork that's left in the fridge. Okay.
Oh, that sounds nice.
Oh, can't wait.
Okay, right. Well, enjoy. You deserve it.
And good luck, Charlie, with all of that to the edit.
With that dollop.